The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
I'm Professor Metcalf, and let me introduce Pedro de Lencastro.
Yep.
Pedro is a 3O, and he's one of our senior research assistants slash dean's fellows. And Pedro has been with us since last spring. So this is your
late spring.
So this is your third semester, and one of the rewards that Pedro gets is that he's going to be one of the panelists for a program that we're having on January 20th. Now, what type of program would we have on January 20th? What is that date? That's not Martin Luther King's birthday, right?
This government's secret.
Yes, it is. Come on in, welcome. We considered hiding the room number in a way that would thematically comport.
I was a little disappointed at that.
See?
Yes.
That's probably the A response. Since we have as many as four of you so far, Lord knows who else may come in. Let me go around. You're all 1Ls, right?
Yes.
Okay. Name. What's your name?
Nick.
Brian.
Brian.
Phil.
Phil?
Yasmin.
Is it Yasmin or Yasmin? Either one?
Yasmin, yeah.
Yasmin.
I don't even know.
I didn't mean to throw such a tough question out so early in the process, my goodness. Okay, this is the session that we have for the Collaboration on Government Secrecy, and I was just mentioning to, okay, let's test my memory. Phil and Nick.
No, I'm Phil.
Phil and
Brian.
I'm only pretending. Right, Pedro?
Yes.
I'm just mentioning to Brian and Phil that we're having one of our three programs this semester next week on January 20th. And Brian and I are working in anticipation of Pedro and I are working in anticipation of Pedro being a panelist on one of the panels that we're having next week. And the reason we're having a program on January 20th is because that's the second anniversary of the Obama inauguration. And the name of the program is Obama Administration Transparency, a Second Year Assessment. So, Pedro, Brian, Phil, Nick, Yasmin. That's probably the only time I'll get it all right. Okay. CGS, for short, is something that came into existence 3.5 years ago, I guess. It was right at the beginning of fall 2007. I retired from the Justice Department earlier that year, and we began it within the Law and Government program, where I was a faculty fellow in Law and Government. And then we upgraded it thereafter, to the point at which we have separate foundation support. Right now, we're covered completely through the spring of next year, and if I'm correct that this is 2011, that would make it 2012, which would be spring of your second year, and we have every expectation that we'll get more foundation support going on beyond that. Because we've been in existence now for all this time. What it is basically the first program, center, thing, call it what you will, focusing on government transparency. Don't be put off by the word secrecy. Government openness, transparency, freedom of information, all of that, all those words that are different sides of the same coin at any law school in the world. And I knew when we started in 2000, we'd be the first in the United States. I mean, law schools have programs on government contracts, on patents, on human rights. Have you ever heard of a law school that has programs on human rights? Different subject areas. But no law school had ever done anything and with respect to transparency. We were the first. And turns out first not just in the United States, but first in the world. We're now the first of four. Second one was University of Dundee in Scotland. Third is a program at Kent. Is it Chicago Kent School of Law? Is that the name in Chicago? And then the fourth is that they're very close to finishing putting something completely together at Yale. They're calling it a practicum, I think, but it's fundamentally the same thing. And what we do, stripped down to the essentials, is maintain an academic website, which is a major undertaking. We put on programs. Thus far, we've put on 12. And as a matter of fact, for Brian and Nick, if you want to even pull up the CGS website, which has gotten screwed up royally with the law school's, what would you call it, upgrade? No, I won't even use the word upgrade.
It's kind of over everything.
I have said so many times in my life, an upgrade that's a downgrade, but I think this one really takes the cake, to give you a very trite, cliche-ish expression for that. And yeah, we're going to have to work that out. But you'll see near the beginning of the website a link for programs to date. And you'll see the number 12. We've had 12 thus far. We have 3 this coming semester. We've had 118 speakers thus far, I think. We'll probably get up near 125 after next week. So at the end of this semester, we'll have 15 programs. We put on one now every January 20th to assess the Obama administration. They know we're there looking at them. We have one during what's called Sunshine Week. And everybody knows what Sunshine Week is because it's the week surrounding the birth of the founding father of government openness. Who would that? Which of the founding fathers would you guess was particularly open? It's James Madison, and his birthday is March 16th, of course. We also have a program every September where we are the principal place in the world, pardon me, in the United States, not in the world, but in the United States, celebrating International Right to Know Day. And everyone knows, of course, that's September 28th. Believe it or not, this coming September, we're going to have the 5th annual International Right to Know Day celebration here at this law school on September 28th. And that's because there's a heavy international component to transparency. There's a heavy international component to what we do at CGS. Springing, I guess, from the fact that when I was head of the Government Information Policy Office at Justice for more than 25 years before I retired, I spent a lot of time helping other nations to develop their own versions of the Freedom of Information Act. And now our number, we're up to 83 worldwide that have a version. When I started heading up that office in 1981, there were 3, the U.S. and 2 others. Believe it or not, it's been an explosion. So there's a lot of international activity, which is also what helps make this a particularly good fit for this law school. Frankly, it's why I chose this law school. Some people say I did it for the commute because I live about a mile and 3/4 away up Massachusetts Avenue, but no, it's very large for that. And since consistent with that, I've been doing a lot more international things. I'm part of a U.S. delegation that now has gone to China twice for an international dialogue on, what do we call it, the inaugural or the second Sino-American dialogue on rule of law and human rights. Believe it or not, rule of law, China, human rights, transparency in China. I never thought I'd see it in my lifetime. I never thought I'd see it in my kids' lifetime, to tell you the truth. Lifetime is plural. And I also, I don't know if any of you know anything about international organizations, but you ever heard of the World Bank? That's downtown. Well, the World Bank finally got off the, you know anything about the World Bank?
Yeah, of course we've heard of it.
Okay, but you can learn more as of now, because the World Bank has finally taken its ultimate step to try to overcome the terrible stain that it suffered under a president by the name of Paul Wolfowitz, one of the guys who brought you the invasion of Iraq when he was a Bush aide. He was president of the World Bank, and he really did a lot of damage to their reputation. He said he was transparent, but he had a girlfriend on the side, and it was just a terrible story. In any event, they created a transparency regime, kind of like the U.S. Freedom of Information Act, just this past summer. And they were so desperate to look open and to show that they were not just talking the talk, but they were walking the walk, that they created an independent appeals panel that has ultimate authority as outsiders to order the disclosure of World Bank records. I mean, just an amazing thing that they did. And they, whenever they talk about it, they stress how it's independent, independent, independent. And then they made the mistake of making me chairman. And we'll see how that works out. They may wind up regretting that. But I'm chairman of this panel. We got a former ambassador from France, and we got a former information commissioner from India. The three of us are on this panel. So there's that international aspect as well. Welcome. This is the Business Administration.
Oh, I must have been misinformed by the sign.
No. I wanted to see how long it would take them to read. Collaboration on Government Secrecy.
Great.
Welcome. This is Bruce, this is Brian, this is Nick, no, this is Pedro, this is Nick, this is Brian, this is Phil, and Jasmine.
Greg.
And I'm Professor Metcalf.
Nice to meet you.
Welcome. They're taking notes, so you can get them.
Okay.
Anyway, we have had since the beginning, since we started in fall of 2007, increasing numbers of Dean's Fellows who work. Now I'm going to get more serious, get down to the nuts and bolts. What your involvement would be if you're interested to apply and you're willing to subject yourself to being interviewed by Pedro, for example, and if that were to happen. We now, this past fall, we had 7, and then one of our a grad student graduated in December. We're now at 6. It's fluctuated as to how much we have room for. It depends upon our budget a little bit, not dispositively, and workload and the like. But of the 6 we have now, who you can see named, although I think the one who graduated in December is still on there. She doesn't, technically she graduates only in the middle of this month, so we have a backlog of pulling stuff off there. But we will lose Pedro and Adam and Andrea. They'll all graduate, assuming I cannot persuade any of their professors, some of whom owe me favors, to flunk them, to keep them, okay? You know, that's how it works sometimes in an academic institution. We'll then have 3 carrying over next year, and we'll have room for at least 2 who could start in the middle of the current semester with a commitment to carry over next year. Okay, because you'd be starting, it's for primarily next year, but we would start you in this semester to start off sometime this semester to be worked out. We'll have room for at least 2, possibly 3. And it's complicated a little bit by the fact that I, believe it or not, have an incoming 1L next September who has expressed interest even before coming to the law school. She's sort of a pre-frosh in that sense, who might well be starting in August, September. But the number 2 or 3 is a viable number to think of right now. Another number you want to have in mind is that you spend, on average, no more than 5 hours a week. And Dean's Fellows, shortly after arrived, I think they raised the Dean's Fellow rate by $1. Is it still only 13?
I actually don't even know.
No, it has, whatever it is. It is what it is per hour. And you guys are on the honors system, and it's worked out very well thus far. We have flexibility. If you work more, you kind of push it off into the future and that sort of thing. But 5 hours on average tops is what it is. That lets you know as to what your time commitment is. And also with money matters, it mattered to me in law school, I'll tell you that. If money matters, that gives you an idea of what's involved there. Now, what do you guys do? The first, would you say the biggest requirement, Pedro, is to laugh at my jokes? I mean, that's number 1 with a bullet above all the others. And they managed to do it reasonably well. Okay. The website, we develop new academic sections. Pedro is developing one right now that's going to be used next week. on the use of statistics with respect to claims of measuring FOIA improvement when you have a new administration that's more open than the Bush administration, how could it miss, that sort of thing. But you can see the academic sections that we have on the website now. We'll be having others down the road. We're doing one on leaks in connection with the third program that I've only alluded to. I haven't mentioned its subject matter, have I, or its date. It's April 27th, which I think is the day right after class ends. And it's on Homeland Security information. And we are going to have one panel on leaks. And we scheduled that even before the latest WikiLeaks go around. And Professor Vladek is going to moderate that. Professor Vladek is someone who's very interested in this area. And as it happened, he and I started here at the same time. In 2007, he and I are writing a textbook on secrecy law together. He's going to be moderating that panel, so we will be covering leaks. And that'll be an academic section. Next year, probably in the fall, maybe into the spring, we're going to have one on electronic record issues under the FOIA, and I'll come up with other subject areas. So you guys would have your areas of expertise, your portfolios, so to speak. One of you might have state secrets, the other one might have international. Someone's going to have to pick up the international part for Andrea when she graduates this spring, that sort of thing. So that's sort of a quick and dirty. What else? Basic responsibilities. Maintaining the site is, I mean, it's not just creating new sections. It's also making sure that we're up to date. And that has become an increasingly large volume activity. When we started, we had only that much there. So keeping that much up to date. Now we're a victim of our own success. We've got so much there that keeping it up to date has commensurately become a larger and larger enterprise. So it's even made the Dean's Fellows roles all the more important by virtue of that. So there's a lot of checking the web, researching, making sure something is up to date, second guessing what is there, because that's always a good thing for an academic enterprise. Second guess it. If you have picked up responsibility for an area and what you see there doesn't make 100% sense to you, you second guess it because maybe you've got a better handle on it than we have thus far. We want to always do that sort of thing to have the best product whatsoever. And thus far, the hallmark of what we've done is that we have a good, extensive academic analysis and that we try to be more up to date, frankly, than other public interest group websites that focus in this area. Okay, I'll stop at that point because even by my watch, it's 11 minutes of, and I want to make sure that I get a chance to cover any questions that you guys might have.
I guess I'd be wondering, what is the application process like? Or when
rigorous. It has an intellectual component, a physical component, a psychological profile.
How much blood testing is involved?
Not blood testing. We can do what we need to do with urine, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, urine. It's amazing what we can do with a urine test. Take that from someone who held a job that 8 ways over, according to the different criteria, I was randomly drug tested for many, many years. Here's what you do. You want to think about it. If you're interested, send a resume to one of the senior research assistants. But watch, see, Pedro is saying, God, don't make it him.
I was going to put my email address up.
Really?
Well,
you don't want to be getting stuff before next Thursday when you're going to be a panelist.
I don't answer any of it before next
Thursday. Okay, then that. As a matter of fact, you won't hear back from us. But yeah, send it to Pedro. And the other two are Andrea. And you can get their names right from the website. Andrea Stevenson and Adam Burrowbridge. And then we'll work out which of these guys will be interviewing you, probably two out of the three. And then we'll have I think last year, if I remember correctly, we started the interviews either in very late January or early February, and we had people lined up by the middle or end of February, certainly before the program we have in mid-March. I think that's the pattern we've had. And these guys will look at your resumes, they'll send them to me, and then I'll interview, if on the off chance that they recommend any of you go on to me, then I'll interview you, and then we take it from there. But that's the basic time period. You would know if you start the process by roughly mid-February, give or take, because we'll be getting clear of our January 20th program on January 20th, and then we'll start gearing up for mid-March later. And there's that. Other questions?
The criteria to look at, I guess, in judging who to bring on as a fellow.
Okay. This is where I'll be uncharacteristically serious, because it's a serious question. Look for people who have a demonstrated interest in the area, or, in other words, even if you haven't done anything in the openness area, where you can indicate that you're nevertheless interested in that, and you have good research skills, someone who can reliably, who I could count on to research the heck out of an area on the internet. Largely, this is where we do research these days. And that if we update something, we'll have 9.5 out of 10 of them covered, or if we create something new, we'll have 10 of 11, that sort of thing. So someone who has the ability to be a good research assistant and the character to be reliable, I guess. Now, that sounds kind of vague, but I've always found, when I was at Justice, I hired 70, just exactly on the nose, 75 attorneys and about 150 law clerks over the 25 plus years that I headed that office. I started very young. I was still in my late 20s and retired at age 55 before I came here. So I'm a pretty good, I pride myself and like to think, everyone likes to think that he or she is a pretty good judge of character, but I've got a track record there that makes me feel even more confident than that. So reliability is a big part of it. We've had thus far 13, I believe, Dean's Fellows, and we've had only one of the 13, maybe because the number is unlucky, the total, we've had only one who really didn't measure up. Pretty good odds. And so reliability, demonstrated interest, demonstrated research ability. This is not something where you have to be at the top of your class, or that if you're not in the top of the half or not in the top three quarters or something like that. This is not law review. I mean, my wife still has never forgiven me for being a law review snob. When I was on law review 35 years ago, we went to the same law school. That's not what this is about. This is about you being interested in the subject area. And as a matter of fact, if your grades aren't that high, that probably shows you're willing to spend time doing other things, which you could argue. No, I'm sorry, I said I was going to be serious. I failed. I should have stayed being serious. Yeah, but if you've got strong interest and strong enthusiasm and you're a reliable person and you have some demonstrated ability that maybe sets you apart from the average person, there you go. And if you come and you say, hey, I have no background in this area, I have no demonstrative research ability, but I can't tell you how, emphasize enough how interested I am, and believe me, I'm a very reliable person here, let me prove that to you, I might just look you in the eye and say, okay, you seem reliable to me, welcome aboard. How's that sound? Questions substantively about the area of law. If you're a 1L, you definitely want to be thinking, if you're interested in the subject matter area, think about my course next fall, Government Information Law and Policy. It's 700/002. It's a version of a basic administrative law class. It meets on Tuesdays and Thursdays from, what do we usually do, 1:30 to 2:50. Right now I've got a seminar called Secrecy Controversies. Meets Wednesday mornings, but you guys are 1Ls. So there's that. What else? Anything else I can tell you? Anything else I could try to give you a serious answer to?
What areas of the government do you get? I mean, is it just everything
with
the government?
Good.
Immigration and then foreign policy?
Good question. So you've got your laptop there. You right at the beginning of the site, see the mission statement?
I actually don't have the site up. What's the,
okay.
Yeah,
Here's what you do. Google my name, my surname, which is Metcalf with an E on the end, and the word secrecy. I always say Google, because the expression we have in my family is the acronym, not the acronym, JFGIA, which is just friggin' Google it already. And we do that because we're a Google family. My daughter, my older daughter, was just recruited by Google to do cybersecurity for it and just left where she was working doing cybersecurity to go out to Mountain View. So my wife and I have now been on the Google campus twice in the last 3 months. So we have become a Google family. You just Google my surname and secrecy and it pops it right up. You'll see a frequently asked questions link. And one of the things that does is delineate what we do and do not cover. We cover transparency at the federal government level. This is government information. Freedom of information, transparency, federal level, not the state and local. And we cover it internationally. So you can think of government transparency, access to government information, federal government, other governments of the world at the federal level, not a nation state within Malaysia, but at the federal level elsewhere, and international financial institutions like the World Bank and IMF and the like. We cover that area as well. And there are other places that cover state and local access to information. We've carved that out. We don't cover judicial disclosure. We sort of carved that out. So it's federal executive branch, that one branch of three, and international at the national level. Anything else I can tell you? Because I don't want to keep, I don't remember what the timetable is for different segments of this. I don't want to hold you guys up if you then have an opportunity to do something else at 5 o'clock.
I think it's just
I don't want to rush you. And I don't want to rush you out of here on the other hand either. So this is entirely up to you. Anything that I could try to discipline myself to give you a straight answer about, I'll try to do.
I was going to ask, if you have any questions for me, then you want to email me. You don't just have to send a resume. If you just have any questions, I'm more than happy to meet up and answer any.
But Pedro's going to be on a panel at 4 o'clock next Thursday afternoon. So he might not have that much time to go back and forth with you between. Just have to understand that. I have tried in recent years to be able to give the 3Ls an opportunity to have that experience and put that on a resume, which is nice to be able to say that. The other two 3Ls, one did a program last September, and the other one's doing one in April. So I try to do that. So if Pedro doesn't get back to you right away, it's not because he's being snobby towards 1Ls or anything. Going once, going twice. Okay. Thanks for your interest.
Thank you.
And spread the word to anyone else anyone else who might be interested.
I'm a former investigative reporter.
Oh, my goodness.
South, so.
You're made to order for this.
More or less, yeah. I was wondering,
do we need to, just a resume, and if could I attach some of some of the stories I did?
And if, by the way, if you guys don't have a resume, I mean, just something basic. Don't go crazy, make yourself crazy trying to put something together that's a lot of work. Just whatever works for you.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do, because I just finished a records battle last year for
which
records of I was
state records.
State records. It was state records in Tennessee for facilities that care for people with mental disabilities, and we ended up running into a big wall. Basically, my newspaper could not spend any more money on it.
You have a major, and you probably know this already. What's in Nashville? Isn't the First Amendment Center in Nashville at Vanderbilt? It's connected to the museum here in Washington.
I know what you're talking about, and I believe I've frequently called the people over there about several issues.
They do a lot of FOIA at the state level, I know.
Yeah. I know we were frequently dealing with them because we were trying to get records of abuse and our investigations of abuse, and the state eventually locked them up because they said
they were
medical records because people's physical state would change when they were getting beat up by orderlies and stuff like that. So, it's a very, very clever argument, and so
you have certainly a background in trying to get your records.
Yeah, more than enough. I think I've joked with folks, if there's not a record I haven't tried to get from a state or local or whatever government, I can't think of one right now.
Wow.
Especially out in the joke in the boonies, because some of those little towns in like Tennessee and Alabama and stuff like that, the things they do to kind of hide stuff are really funny. Like I'd been in a town in West Tennessee where they were supposed to, state law said they had to record all their city council meetings. Well, they only put it on one tape. So every time they would get something, they would record over that tape because they said it was too prohibitive for them to go out and buy new tapes because they have storage.
Cockpit recorder.
Yeah.
Go over.
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Nothing like a little lawsuit to shape them up.
No, nothing. I know they've had trouble because there was a ruling in Tennessee, I think a few years ago, out of that same town, to where you couldn't actually photograph. No, it wasn't photograph. Could not videotape those meetings. It was Attorney General's opinion, and it changed rather quickly, because then after you had that, you had the state's news media step up and flex their muscles a little bit, and they stepped back.
I guess once I get back together,
there's a fellow by the name, very now aged gentleman by the name of John Siegenfelder, who has been very active in the state of Tennessee.
Yeah.
He has a national reputation as well, but I know that they have pushed for more and more openness in Tennessee.
And kind of the research you said, it's a lot of internet-based research, I guess, primarily. I guess what typically do you see? See people go out just kind of measuring openness, or what type of?
If you take a look at the second half of the site, we've developed a lot of them just by compiling a lot of information. For example, on the state secrets privilege.
Yeah.
We have a compilation of every state secrets privilege case. Now, just that one subpage. Okay, Pedro. Just that one subpage took a heck of a lot of time.
I imagine so,
Someone who graduated last May, who spoke at a program last March, did the first academic analysis compilation of all Exemption 3 statutes used by agencies that mandate non-disclosure, and found 153 of them, and that took an awful lot of academic research, but we did it first. No one else has ever done that. So it varies according to the subject matter, but you can get an idea if you go through the sections. Every section that's on there, other than the basic ones that I do more work on, students put a lot of time into create and to maintain.
Yeah.
So all you have to do is see what's there, and you can just imagine.
Imagine all the work,
exactly.
Yeah, I've been over that. I've had plenty of those days where it's just me, some database and a spreadsheet, and that for about 4 or 5 days straight, so kind of used to that kind of pace. So.
Okay.
All right, so just basically send in a resume, cover letter, or anything else I want to toss into.
And there's no hurry, because we're not going to do anything before January 20th, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
and then I'll pick two of them, or maybe it'll rotate a little bit, depending upon how many resumes we come in, to go over it and meet with you guys, and then it goes on to me, and by mid-February we'll have a pretty good idea. And maybe we'll take two, maybe we'll take three. Some might depend upon the contact I make with a student who's coming in as a 1L in September, who's actually applied to the school saying she wanted to come here because of CGS, kind of in a unique case. And I'd have to double check with her. I'm pretty sure she's been admitted already. I think she has.
Yeah.
But could be two, could be three. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. I can do that.
Sure thing.
Pleasure. Thank you, Mike.
Good to meet you. Appreciate the interest.
Possibly a urine sample. No blood work, but possibly a urine sample.
Right. Yeah. And the one thing I hope I mentioned, that it's a commitment by you for at least both semesters next year.
Yeah.
You're 1L. The third year, everyone has gone all the way through thus far.
Yeah.
But I want to make sure you know it's a minimum commitment for those two semesters next year, even though you're starting this year.
Yeah, well, this is kind of the the path that got me here, so or got me into law school, so this is where I want to go.
There you go.
Well, I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you very much.